So as I was thinking and praying about, okay, God, it's Christmas Eve. What do you preach? What do you talk about? What do you say to cap off a year and to inspire and encourage to a new year? And I found myself just praying and thinking, and then I found myself going back to this very prophetic movie in the 80s called Back to the Future. And then I found myself being very ripped off because they promised flying cars by 2015, and we're now 2024 on the cusp of it, and we still don't have flying cars. We've got hovering cars. Whose kid is that? But no, seriously, I was just like, man, I was thinking about that, and I thought, where is the time gone? 2024 is right here. Y'all ready for it? How many are like, we're so glad that 2023 is gone?
Yeah.
A couple of you. You excited for what 2024 has for you?
No.
That means they got to go back to school. Oh, man. Well, let's open up in prayer, can we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a beautiful day. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We can feel your presence, Holy Spirit, and we are so grateful that you inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord, we just, I just pray that as all of us that are here, that we ask that you open up our ears so that we may hear your voice today. Lord, I pray that you would open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom and guidance, and open up our spirits, Heavenly Father, so that we may know your voice and your leading and your guidance in each of our lives, and open up our hearts that we may receive your incredible, incredible love. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, amen and amen. So we are, we're here. 2023 is coming to a close. And like I said, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that you would have me speak about, really about New Year? And I felt like this thought kept running through my mind, and I felt like it was the Holy Spirit putting it in my mind. And this is what it was. It was, what is one of the core secrets to keeping spiritual passion ignited in our lives? What is that core secret? Now, it's not even really a secret, I don't think. But as I started looking back over my life, I've been in full-time ministry 24 years. And in 24 years of full-time ministry, I have seen many, many, many people that have their spiritual life has been ignited. They've been on fire. They've been ready to go. And we've all been there, right? We remember those days. And it's like, excuse me. Then for some reason, and I thought about this. It's like, why does that go away? Do we mature out of it, or what's the deal? But I thought about that a lot, and I've prayed about that a lot. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today is I think we need to understand about passion. And passion's a funny word, but passion is not a feeling, right? It's not a feeling. If passion was a feeling, then the animals during their heat cycle would be more passionate than we are in our following of Jesus Christ, right? Some of you are sitting here going, is it okay to laugh about that? Right? But think about it. It's not a feeling. Passion is choice. It's a choice. It's a commitment. It's something that we choose to do. We are committed to doing. All of us have family, right? And I can say this probably with full confidence, excuse me, that you don't wake up in the morning going, I am so excited to serve my family today. I am just passionate. I can't wait to cook and clean and do laundry and dishes and clean up dog dookie and all these things. I can't wait to go to work and work my tail off just to live paycheck to paycheck. Am I wrong? No. Okay? That's just life, right? It's just life. We do it out of commitment. We make the choice every single day of who we're going to love, who we're going to invest in, where we make the choice and we're committed to doing the things that need to be done because it's a commitment, right? It's not a feeling. You guys following me so far? And so I'm convinced, even more so, when you see in the Word of God where Paul tells us to put on love, right? Paul doesn't say feel your way to love. He says put on, cloak yourself, put on love. Love is a choice. Passion is a choice. And that's kind of where we're going this morning. And I found this quote years ago. It was one of my mentors that her name is Jeannie. She's a spiritual mom and mentor in my life. She says, right actions eventually create the right feelings. So that's our theme. And I thought, okay, so where do we go with that? Where do we go with this whole thing? And excuse me. I probably should have used a handheld, Phil. But where do we go with that? So I want to talk about something today that I have by no means any shape or form mastered in my own life. So what I'm saying by that is this. I'm preaching to the choir today just as much as I'm preaching to anybody else. Okay? This is something that the Lord is really starting to fire up in me. And I know that it's something that is extremely vital in every one of our lives as Christ followers. And I'm hoping, I've been praying that God would open up our ears and our hearts to hear, not just be hearers of the word, but to apply this in your own life. And as I've reached into my own self and asked this question, what has allowed me to stay even remotely ignited in passion as a follower of Jesus Christ in my life? And today we're going to call the message, Making New Wineskins. Making of a New Wineskin. Now, anybody know what a wineskin is? It's something that holds wine, Pastor. Yeah. This one doesn't hold wine, it's just air. Just if you thought. Right? This is a contemporary new version of a wineskin, but it's still made out of leather. And there's a process that is how they make wineskins. And again, I don't claim to know how to do that. I actually did a lot of research and found an article where somebody was interviewing a craftsman that actually makes wineskins. And so we're going to explore that. What is a wineskin? What do I have to do to keep passion alive in my life? And many of you have walked with the Lord longer than a year, right? How many have said, I've walked longer than a year? How many? 5 years? 10? 20? 30? Wait, 40? 50 years? Wow. See, the numbers start to drop, right? But we've all at a level. Now, if you've just received the Lord and made that decision to follow him, you're probably going, why in the world do I need to even know about this? Because I remember when I first received the grace and the gift of salvation, you couldn't shut me up, right? I was pumped at what God did in my life because he took all this ugly and all this weight and all this garbage and took it from me, and I couldn't wait to tell everybody. And at that point, I was still working in a bar. And I was telling people about Jesus at a bar. That's fun. Especially the ones who've been drinking a while and they get all philosophical on you. But I was excited. There was passion. And then what happens to that passion? What happens to that passion? Right? It's like, and some of you are like, well, I don't even know why I have to listen to this message. I'm going to encourage you to take notes. If you got a note thing, take it. It's not the prettiest notes, and I know you probably need to have like a magnifying glass. I was doing this yesterday thinking, oh, man, I got to have notes, and because this is one of those ones I believe that you're going to want to take notes on. So how do you make a new wineskin, a new passion for spiritual igniting and passion in the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. I think I may have that on the screen. I don't remember. 5 verse 36 through 39 is our text. And it says this, and Jesus told them this story. No one takes the cloth off a new coat to cover a hole in an old coat. Also, no one ever pours new wine into old leather bags. Otherwise, the new wine will break the bags, the wine will spill, and the leather bags will be ruined. New wine must be put into new leather bags. No one, after drinking new wine ever, wants to go back to the old wine. He never says to himself, I think the old wine is better. Interesting passage of scripture. And the next scripture that I love, and this is my prayer for New Life and everybody that's part of the New Life family. This is my prayer for 2024. Isaiah says, behold, I will do something new. Everybody say new.
New.
Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? That is, I don't care who you are. That's good, right? How many know that God wants to do something new in you? How many? Raise your hand. God wants to do something new in you. And so we're going to walk through these making of wineskins. And, excuse me, I made these fill-ins that aren't the greatest, so I apologize. But it'll help you travel quickly. There's some fill-ins there that are key words in our material. But here's what I really hope. I really hope that you don't just leave them on the chair when you leave or throw them in the trash. I hope you tuck them into your Bible to come back to in the future and allow this word to marinate in your soul. Because it's one of these things. God wants to do something new. But there's things that stop that from happening. To receive new wine, you must become a new wine skin. And I'm going to hop through this quickly, but I'm going to talk about the characteristics of old wine skins, okay? Obviously, I'm going to talk about the physical aspect of it. You're going to make the translation into the spiritual because it's going to be easy. It's not going to be hard for you to make that distinction, okay? You following me? It's going to be easy to do that, but I'm going to leave that up to you, and I'm going to talk about some of that stuff as well as we go. So you ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. All right, old wineskins. Number one, they're dry, rigid, and they have a lot of ruts, which precisely defines a lot of people who call themselves Christians. Isn't that true? They're rigid, they're dry, and they're in ruts. Isn't that crazy? It's precisely what defines me if I let it. If I let it. It's so easy for us to get into ruts. It's so easy for us to become dry and rigid in our faith. It's so easy in life. You've always said, old people, they're just stuck in their ways. They're caught in ruts. Anybody ever heard that? It's the truth, isn't it? We get caught in ruts. My mentor and spiritual mom, Jeannie, shared this with me many years ago that I want to share with you. It's such a truth. It says you can be on platforms all you want, but a platform, no matter who you are or what you're doing, doesn't keep your passion for Jesus alive in your life. And here's what the scary thing is to me. In the 21st century church world, the church world almost mistakes talent for anointing. Right? If you're talented, if you're gifted, if you're a good orator, if you're an audio speaker, a musician, whatever, and you're good with words, they'll take that talent and mistake it for anointing. We need to be careful not to become dry and rigid. And the bottom line is many of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, don't like change, right? We don't like change. We like it the way that it is. It's just the way that it is. And number two, old wineskins are very brittle and easily broken when bumped. I wrote this question down. How easily offended are we? That we tell, we can tell a lot about how we are as an old wineskin by how easily offended we are. If we want to stay ignited with passion, we need to have what I'm calling a good forgiver, right? We need to have a good forgiver. We need to be able to forgive quickly and easily in our journey with the Lord. Because if you're doing real life, and let's just call it that, if you're doing real life, you'll have a lot of reasons to get hurt and wounded and then offended for legitimate reasons, right? They're legitimate. And it's easy to do that if you're doing real life. It's there. It's part of life. But I personally don't want to be brittle. I don't want to be one of those people who have become so fragile that every little thing causes me to be offended or easily broken when I'm bumped in life. Old wineskins have, number three, they have small cracks somewhere on the inside. Now, they may look perfectly fine on the outside, but on the inside, they have small cracks somewhere, and that usually means that they're found empty, right? They're found empty. Did you catch that piece? They're empty. Listen, you can go to church. You can go through the whole drill. You can sing songs. You can give money. You can quote scripture. You can do all that, whatever. And I've been part of the church my whole life, for the most part. And the one thing that I think I found the most disheartening growing up in church were people that looked really good on the outside, but were filled with cracks on the inside, and they were empty. They were empty. And they hurt people. That was one of the reasons why I ran from the church, was because it wasn't what it appeared. It wasn't what it appeared. Their passion for Jesus had run out, and they were just playing church. They were just going through the motions. They were just doing the stuff. And it had nothing to do with any passion that they had for Jesus. It had nothing to do with passion, right? They just lost that. Passion is not voice, okay? It's not voice. Now, just because a person is effervescent and they are what's another, they're bubbly, right? Or it seems to be full of that, oh, right? You've been around those people, right? Doesn't mean that they have passion. It doesn't mean that deep inside of their spiritual life they're passionate about, right? Passion, like I said, is not a voice. It's not volume. It's not a persona. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. And the last characteristic of an old wineskin, is number four, is it lose elasticity. And so they are not able to be easily stretched. Now, excuse me, I want to keep that fire. Right? And I had the worship team sing that song this morning, lead us in that song, Set a Fire Deep in My Soul. It wasn't a coincidence. I asked them to do that because that is my prayer for us. That's my prayer for me, is in 2024, set a fire, an unquenchable fire deep in my soul. I want more of you, God. Now, you've heard me say this a bazillion times, that you have as much of God as you want. Right? You have as much of God as you want. And I don't know about you, but I want more than I have. Because God has proven himself to be faithful. He's proven himself to be worthy of my honor, my praise, my worship. And I want more. I want more. And I hope that that's your prayer too, but you have as much of God as you want. So how do you obtain and make a new personal wineskin? Now, I need to go on record again to say that I personally have no experience in making wineskins at all. None. And I looked long and hard. There is no one that I could find on the internet that in our area that makes wineskins. But I did find an article of a guy was interviewing somebody that does this, and it has been a family tradition for many decades. And so I took information from that, and it was perfect. It was like the Lord just kind of led me right there. And so here we go. Again, the parallel between the actual physical wineskin and the spiritual is pretty clear. So let me say this before I go into step one. I think this is very obvious, but in order to start making a wineskin, you have to make sure the animal is dead. You would think that that would be obvious, but it has to be. It has to be dead. Now, there's a spiritual connection there, right? We all must understand that to be spiritually ignited, to make a difference in our world for Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we need to make sure that the old man has died. The old is gone, the new has come, right? And to make and that Jesus is living on the inside. Now, I know this. The deader that Dave gets, the more alive Jesus gets in my life, right? And it is a daily thing that we have to die to ourselves. Scripture also tells us to follow Jesus, we need to do what? We need to pick up our cross daily, right? It's not a once and done thing. It's daily we pick up our cross. Now, in the New Testament, people carrying their cross, there were three things about these people that carried their cross. First one was this. They're headed only in one direction, right? They're not serpentining. They're not ducking, dodging. One direction. The other thing about these people is they demanded no further rights or comfort. And the last one is they had no future plans of their own. So how does that describe us? Sometimes for me, if I'm being honest, not very well. Just being honest, not very well. So how do we make a person new wineskin? Here we go, you ready? Number one, step one is curing. Curing. This involves salt water, right? It's the first stage of cleansing and loosening and softening of the hard areas of the hide, okay? The key concept at this step spiritually involves the softening of our own personal internal softening of my hard areas. We all have them. For me, the hard areas usually come from places related to my own pain, my own disappointment, and God wants to be able to soften those areas in my life so that the pain that the enemy wanted to use to destroy me, to end me, or to even just give me spiritual rigor mortis, if you will, you can spin in hell's face and say, I'll take the pain and I'll use it to promote Jesus Christ and have more empathy for those around me. So how do you make a difference out there in the world? How do you make a difference in your world when it comes to people around you? I think it's this. And I think we make things so complicated at times, but I think this is the simplistic way of looking at it. Don't just listen to them talk about their pain. Hear it. Hear it. Right? Step two, soaking. Soaking in pure water. Now, when I first heard that step, the first passage of scripture that popped in my mind was Ephesians chapter 5, right? About soaking. And this is kind of misleading, but it's not. So chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing. Hear this, the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, I was trying to figure out how to do this without making a mess and making a janitor mad, and so I chose not to physically illustrate it. But imagine with me that I have this glass of dirt and water. And you say, okay, Dave, you got to get the dirt out of the glass, but you can't tip the glass sideways. So how do you get the dirt out of the glass? It's simple. You get a pitcher of water. and you begin to pour that water in the glass, and eventually all the dirt will come out and be left with nothing but clean, pure water. It's by the washing. The washing. That's what the Word of God does for us. Because we all know that we've got dirt, right? We got dirt. And the only way the dirt gets out is by the washing of the Word of God. You put good in, you get good out. You put garbage in, you get garbage out, right? It's the Word of God. Now, I thought about this piece too, and I thought about quiet times. And again, I would be the first to say that sometimes I am not very good at getting in the Word of God for my own personal growth, right? We get busy. I know y'all do. We all have that. We're all there. But I have been around these people before. You ever been around those people that's like every time that they talk about their quiet time, it's like they make it sound like Jesus was right there and there was the burning bush and there was like, oh my gosh, the presence of God was there and it was like God was talking to you in this poinsettia. And I say, please, right? Please, that ain't real. Not even maybe once in every new millennia, but it's not real. Real life is what? Real life is if you're like me, you're in the Word of God, and there's you have to fight falling asleep sometimes, right? Am I wrong? I'm the only one that has that problem, right? We struggle with it. But here's the thing. Not every time that you're in the Word of God is there going to be this huge aha moment and the angels are going to come down and sing glory. It's not real. I wish it was. How cool. That'd make everybody want to be in the Word of God all the time. Right? But it takes commitment. You have to get in the Word of God. And the Word of God intangibly begins to soak us and to clean us from the inside out. And most of the time, you got to get this. This sounds so anticlimactic, but most of the time, you don't really even feel anything, right? You don't feel anything. But it's the intangible Word of God that begins to soak us and clean us, and we have to soak in it. We have to soak in it. Step three, fleshing. Fleshing. Now we're getting into the good stuff. This is the first major cutting after obviously the initial gutting out process of the animal's flesh. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 came to mind. The Word of God is active. Sharp like a sword that cuts to the very deepest parts of me and you. It's sharp and active, right? Are you seeing it? The major cutting, the Word of God does it. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been wounded to the point by somebody that you've reached that 70 times seven part. You know what I'm talking? You know what I'm saying? You know, God said, how many times do I have to forgive 70 times seven? You've got, man, Jesus, I'm going to hit that 70 times seven, man. Right? And one thing that I do know is this. There is no deeper wound, and you will not experience any deeper wound than that that comes from a loved one. Right? Somebody that you love. And I was complaining to the Lord a while back. And I'll just have to say this. I don't throw pity parties. Because they're not big enough. I throw pity banquets, right? I'm a whiner sometimes with God. And nobody got that. There's a couple. It's okay. Right? And I was complaining to the Lord about a person and how I was feeling treated and abused and neglected and blah, 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 blah. And I was whining. And this scripture pops into my mind, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit fleshing something out in me. And it was the story of the woman caught in adultery, right? And he confronts, they're trying to trap him. You guys know the story. And he kneels down, and he's doodling in the dirt, and then everybody drops their rock, and they walk away. But his response to everybody was, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." And I started thinking about that, and I'm like, "Man, you're right. How many times have I hurt people with stupid comments or stupid actions?" And I just, it was that, and then it dawned on me that that's what was taking place right then, was God's Spirit was fleshing out a hard spot in my life. And it's not something, again, that's one and done, right? It's this fleshing out in me. And what I'm saying is this fleshing process, what it represents in scripture and in the spiritual life is sanctification process. Now, sanctification is a really big word that simply means the setting apart for holy purposes. Excuse me. At the point that you receive Jesus as your Savior, you now entered in, that's the justification, right? Just as if you had never sinned. God died on the cross, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, just as we never sinned. Then you've entered into the sanctification process for the rest of your life, being sanctified. What, it takes all my life? Yeah, it does. Sanctification, to set you apart for the holy purposes of God, right? So what am I trying to say? Is that you're never gonna change the world if you keep trying to be like it. You're never gonna change the world if you keep trying to be like it. Step number four, the unerring process. It's a weird word. This is another soaking time, right? But this time, the soaking is taking place in lime, right? That nasty stuff, lime. And the purpose is so that the craftsman can begin to check for remaining hard spots that might not be as obvious. And the lime brings that out, and as they're able to begin to take out the last few hard spots of flesh. And he begins to feel all the flesh so that he can tell where the lumps are. Now, again, I'm being a bit transparent this morning, but I thought surely by the time that I have served the Lord this long that all the lumps would be gone, right? 30-some years I've been serving the Lord, and my wife can say with all confidence that I can still be lumpy and not just the middle. Right? There's some lumps in my life still, and if we're all being real, there are in yours as well. Right? There's still lumpy places in my life. But this lime, what it does, it begins to burn away any remaining flesh. And I think this process, it represents in 1 Peter 1:7 and 1 Peter 4:12, the fiery times in our lives. Right? The fiery times. The times where we feel like we're on fire, that we are, that there's this, we're in this furnace, right? Of adversity. And I think it's those times, those fiery times, that's when the Lord is able to begin to flesh out the rest of those, more of those hard, lumpy spots in our life, right? And I was thinking about this, started thinking about fire, and one of the things I loved, how many of you guys love going camping? And when you have the fire and the fire pit, or you might have a fire pit at your house, how many of you guys find yourself just mesmerized staring at the flames? Isn't that interesting? It's almost hypnotic, right? But then I started thinking about fire more, and I thought, okay, fire can ignite things, but it also burns things away. Right? It's crazy how fire works, right? It can both ignite and burn away stuff that we don't need in our life. And again, that's why we sang that song this morning, "Set a Fire Inside of Me." Now listen, if you want to be this kind of person, can I encourage you to keep the notes that you're taking and put it in your Bible? Here's why. Because somewhere where you could keep it, because at some point you can take them out and look them over again from time to time and say, "Lord, by your grace, by your grace." And I think sometimes what happens is we come to church and pastor maybe has a really good message, or maybe it's an in message or whatever, but it's like, that's cool. And you might even be a note taker because you're taking notes so you don't fall asleep. Whatever the reason, or you like to take notes, you like to doodle, you like to whatever. But then we stick it in our Bible or we leave it on the chair and then we walk away and then we forget about it. Can I just challenge and encourage you to not be that person, to let the word of God, let this message, if any message, let this one stir your soul. Because we live in a world today that needs Jesus more than ever before. And guess what? You're his plan A. You're God's plan A, right? And so we need this ignited passion in our life. And I don't know about you, but I want to pursue this ignited passion. I want to make a difference in my world, in my family, in my work, in my school, and in my community. I want to make a difference. Which leads us to step five. And it's a funny word, but it's scutting. Scutting. Now, in this process, a different knife is used here. The scutting blade is both very thin and extremely sharp. And any flesh, even the smallest bit left on the skin, will eventually rot if left, and it will ruin the wineskin. So they have to scut it. This blade is so sharp that it's cutting so close to the skin, dangerously close, that it's easy to damage the wineskin and ruin it. And so the craftsman using this knife is very skillful and very careful. So, and I don't know if I need to tell you this or not, but I'm gonna that our God that we serve is very skillful and very careful when it comes to scutting in our lives. He's masterful at this. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit and perfect us in the spirit of holiness and the fear of the Lord. So my question today would be this. Do you allow the Lord to break out his scutting knife in your life? Do you allow him to begin to clean that up in your life? Now, I know some of you are thinking, but God is in that business, right? It's a process that we're all in. And I would ask this question. Do you have some friends who are close enough and courageous enough maybe to be able to speak the truth to you and allow God to use them to be part of that scutting process? I think, you know, I thought about this. That process, as like several others, probably hurt if we could feel the physical pain of it, right? It probably hurts. And when we think about hurt, we think about bad, right? Hurt equals bad, but not all pain, not all hurt is bad. Just because something hurts doesn't make it bad. Number six step, bathing. This is done in a special solution of oil and rubbed directly on the wineskin by the craftsman's hand. It's for the very purpose of softening and stretching. Right? You can imagine that it's got salt water and then you have lime and you have all this and you need to put moisture back in it, and it's for the softening and stretching. And only the oil of the Holy Spirit can, in our lives, can we be stretched to the appropriate shape into the image of God and the image of Christ. Just because we call ourselves a Christian doesn't mean the fruit of the Spirit is operating in your life. And this is, I think about this, gifts are given, right? We have the gift of grace, the gift of salvation. We have the gifts that God has given us. But fruit is grown, right? And most of the time it's got a bunch of manure on it to help it grow. But fruit is grown in our life. It's not a gift, it's grown. And I want to be shaped into the image of Christ. And step seven, the drying process. This tests whether or not the wine skin is usable. All this work is done and it still has to be dried so it can be tested if it's going to be usable or not. The wineskin might look good on the outside, but the drying tests it. Why? Well, the craftsman is saying because any cracks or holes, any shrinkage will all show up when you dry out that wineskin. In the spiritual application, this happens in the desert experiences of our life, right? When Christ was hanging on the cross and no longer feeling the presence of the Father, he was doing his most hell-defying work. He was in a very drying spot. And maybe when you and I are in the middle of this drying process and God feels a million miles away, maybe hell is blocking your feeling because he's afraid of your consistency. He's afraid of your usability. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 16, God says, "Let my people go so that they may worship me." And I found this very interesting. I never caught it before. "But let them work that they may worship me in the wilderness." Listen, everyone wants to go to Canaan. Everyone wants to go to the promised land, but nobody wants to go through the wilderness. But it's a process. It's a process that we all have to go through. Now, I'll tell you that if the wineskin were alive, the shelf would be this drying process. This shelf would be a huge waste of time, right? Anybody ever felt like they've been put on a shelf in a season of their life? The wineskin is probably up on the shelf while nobody's attending it. And it's saying, "Use me, use me, use me." Ooh, right? Use me. But God has got it on the shelf for a reason. Or maybe this wineskin's saying, "Nothing's exciting happening up here on the shelf. It's boring," right? Or maybe it's saying, "The last wineskin spent less time on the shelf than I'm spending." Or it can go on and on, right? But there's the drying process. And I'm going to wrap up this morning as the worship team is coming. And here's what I would say. My encouragement this morning is when you hit the drying season, when you hit the drying process, don't be a wineskin shouting from the shelf. Wherever you are, make that place where you are doing something for Christ, right? Making a difference for Christ is not something you do 5 years from now, or when you have a certain degree, or when your kids are out of the house, or whatever, you can fill in the blank. Making a difference or igniting your world is what you do effective now. It's effective now. So stop shouting and complaining from the shelf. And I put in my notes, make hell know that you're going to make a difference even when it's dry and feels like it's barren. And we need to understand something very important about this process. The craftsman said this, if any step is skipped, the wineskin will be of no lasting value. It will be no lasting value. Now, the key danger is that if all of the flesh of the animal is not removed, the wine will eventually take on the flavor and the aroma of the flesh of the wineskin itself, rather than being pure wine. And I think about that in light of us as Christ followers. There's a process that we go through, right? There's a process that God takes us through. And if any step is skipped, the fear is that it won't be of long-lasting value. And we see in our world today so many Christians, high profile ones, that are spinning out. Right? They're spinning out. There's failure after failure. And I think after learning about this whole process of the wineskin, I think maybe a step was skipped somewhere along the way. That we get so in a hurry. And we all want it right now, right? We live in that society. We live in that world where it's instant gratification. I want it now. I want it now. But the longer that I live and the longer I serve the Lord, the more I know that God's timing isn't always my timing, but it's always perfect. And whatever season, whatever part of the process that you're in, embrace that process. Allow God's Spirit to begin to do the things that he needs and wants to do in us. And as we move into 2024, a brand new year, I know this, that to receive new wine, we have to become a new wineskin. And I believe wholeheartedly, family, I believe wholeheartedly God wants to do something new in each and every one of us. But he's not gonna pour new wine into an old wineskin. We have to go and make a new wineskin in our lives. So the question that I'm going to leave with each of us today is this. Will you allow God to begin the work of creating a new wineskin in you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you. And God, we're so grateful for the work that you do in us. We know that you are at work around us all the time, and you are at work in us. And sometimes the work that you want to do in us, we sabotage for fear or whatever. But Lord, my prayer is specifically for me, but I pray this for my church family as well, Lord God. Let us be willing for you to make a new wineskin in us so that we can receive the new wine that you have for us, the something new that you have in store for us. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Lord, let us walk out of this place different than when we came in. And let us attack 2024 with passion ignited in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you stand with me as we sing a closing song?